Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name's Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do a review and stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. It's taken me three attempts to do that introduction, I don't know why. Joining me today, like normal, is Juliana. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello, everyone.
Actually, I think I do know why. It's because this is the second podcast that I've recorded back to back.
Yes.
If you know what I mean.
We rarely do this.
Yeah, normally it's just like fresh in my mind. Or it's not fresh in my mind, I just don't think about it.
Yeah.
And now we've just been recording. So we finished the previous episode.
Yes.
About The Road.
The Road.
By Cormac McCarthy. And then we went, picked up some chocolate muffins.
Yes.
Had a cup of tea and a coffee. Watched a few YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And now we're back.
We're back.
For episode number two of the day.
What?
The Bear. So we've done The Road and now we're doing The Bear.
People are very creative with their titles.
Yes. So The Bear is about a guy who inherits a restaurant in Chicago, and he has to work with his brother. Was it half brother? And they've got to make meatball sandwiches.
Oh, it's like the show.
No, it's absolutely nothing like that. It's just another thing. It's just another thing called The Bear.
No, really got me.
Nothing like that. So this is The Bear, which is not a TV show called The Bear. This is by Andrew Krivak, who is an author who I know nothing about. But The Bear, I've been seeing floating around for the last few years.
Okay.
And there it was in the Audible free library. And so it's been sitting in my Audible app for a while.
Okay.
I thought, if I'm looking for something to do, I'll read this.
Yeah.
It's just 4 hours long. So it's kind of like novella. It's like on the border between a novella and a novel.
And for glancing from here, you have the Goodreads page open with with the ratings. It's like really close to The Road, 3.89.
And what is it, 3.99?
3.99.
Okay, let's not do The Road comparisons right yet.
I don't know,
yet.
But I just thought, quite
so this
funny.
Is a book, and I honestly wasn't sure if I was going to review this, but because I had this experience of like, oh, The Road is a bit depressing, let me switch over and try out another book, The Bear, and I started listening to this and I was like, oh, it's the same thing.
So you went back to back with this?
No, not back to back, literally I hadn't finished one and I started the other, and before I finished one I was switching backwards and forwards between these two at one point.
That's funny.
With like literally two other books on top of that, but so I was trying to find like, what am I in the mood for? Am I in the mood for a bit more Moby Dick? Am I in the mood for Scum of the Earth, a comedy book, or am I in the mood for The Road, or am I in the mood for The Bear?
Interesting.
There's a few different things that I was trying to get through all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was really weird coming into this going, all right, so I'm reading The Road, which is post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And the main characters aren't named, and there's a father and a son, and they will say the man does this and the boy does this. The man does this, the boy does this.
Yeah.
And then I started, and it's post-apocalyptic, and they're like the only two characters for the good chunk of the start of the book.
Yeah.
And then I start the Bear, and there is the man and the girl. And the man and the girl. It's literally the same literary device of not naming your two main characters because they're like, everybody else is dead and these are the last two characters that you need to talk.
No, really?
Yeah, it's literally the same. And then I was looking at some, other thing. Well, let me just look at my notes. I didn't make a huge amount of notes here.
Mm. When did this come out then?
This is 2020.
So okay, so more recently.
The Road came out in 2007. This is 2020. Yeah, so a bit more recently. And then other people say, oh, and also there's no attribution to the, again, I'm listening as an audiobook, so I don't see that there's not attribution and quotation, like quote marks like around it as well.
Again,
the same thing. The same thing as The Road. And so when I actually looked at this here, maybe what happens if I click here on one star? Does that open here as well? So when I looked at this as well, you can actually see other people, like, and I was just looking, I'm not going to get into this, I'm going to go through my own notes, but like other people say, The Bear reminded me in a few ways of The Road. It's about a father and his child surviving a post-apocalyptic. Both characters are pointlessly nameless and dialogue pointlessly lacks quotation marks. So other people, and as I was looking through, it feels like almost every single person who had read The Road in their review of The Bear mentioned that it's
no quotation.
It's quite like The Road in various ways, and it's post-apocalyptic, only two characters, they're nameless, there's no attribution to dialogue and no quotation marks.
Did we need another one of this?
Here's the thing. Maybe Andrew Krivak thought, hey, The Road is a bit bleak. I want to do my own twist on this. I want to have my own my own turn. You
okay,
know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's long enough ago that someone can write The Road and then someone can write The Bear and you can read it and go, okay, this book is obviously in dialogue with this other novel. And I must admit, it caught me out because it was almost as though I've done this intentionally, even though I did it completely unintentionally. Yeah. I didn't know what The Bear was, and I didn't know what... I mean, I more knew what The Road was going into it.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about The Bear. Okay. I just heard, it's a story, it's fun, and there's, you know, there's a bear. And, you know, I didn't know it was post-apocalyptic or anything like that.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
You can ask any question you want.
Did you finish this one?
Yes, I did finish this one.
Oh.
This is like the previous one, like The Road is like 6 to 7 hours audiobook. This is like 4 and a bit hours audiobook.
Okay.
So it's a bit shorter.
Right.
And when I started it, I was like, oh yes, I'm definitely going to finish this. Because again, it's short, not a lot of commitment. And I got into it and was, you know, enjoying it a lot. I was like, oh great. This is kind of what I wish The Road was.
Uh-huh.
Because in this case, like even though the characters are nameless, they are, I would say, pointlessly nameless, but they're kind of nameless in a way which makes you think that they should be nameless, because unlike The Road, where there's other people around that are dangerous, in here, in this book, in The Bear, there are no other people around.
Okay.
And you understand that there has been a nuclear apocalypse, and then after the nuclear apocalypse, other bad shit's gone down.
Right.
And now we're generations, a good few generations after the nuclear...
It wasn't just 6 years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't 6 years ago. It's probably like 70, 80, actually, I don't know, but like long enough ago that the cities and the towns and the buildings are all crumbled away to nothing.
Right.
And, you know, nature is taking back over.
Yes.
And there's no humans... and the mother died, and it feels very... And there's never any discussion of like, oh, let's go find other humans to do this. Or like, no, they know that they might be the... They probably aren't the last humans, but of course, with no communications and no way to go around, it feels very much like, ah, this is the end. This is the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And yeah. And so a father is talking to his like 6-year-old daughter or however it is.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, we're going to climb the mountain to where I buried the ashes of your mother.
Oh, okay. There's a purpose.
They climb up there and then they do that every year on the solstice, which is, they say, oh, it's your birthday is the summer solstice. It's like, is it really? Probably not, but either way. But it's the same kind of thing, like Jesus born on the equinox of, you know, like, and that's why Easter tracks with the moon and all this, you know, the Easter is the Sunday after the first full moon after the 21st of...
Wait, Jesus wasn't born on Easter, was he?
No, he was born in... No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, he was born on the winter solstice.
Winter solstice,
so it's sort of like to say, oh, we're turning the corner. And straight away, just that this is the idea that, oh, okay, you're going, okay, so this is the last... And again, this is what kind of I want from, you know, cosmic religious significance of thoughts that an author has and goes, I'm going to put that in there.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason why she was born on the 21st of June, and that was the same day her mother died or whatever, you know, I can't remember exactly where the dates line up, but if Jesus was born on the turning point of the cold, like the longest part of the year, like longest night of the year to the one less of the longer, you know, right around that time, December 21st, and you're like, 3 months later, you know, that's 9 months, you know, so that's why, you know, it's a whole like cycle of life kind of thing.
Yeah.
That Jesus, he died at Easter, but that kind of like, okay, we're making our way through the year. We're making our way through the solstices and equinoxes.
Yes.
And we can put our main religious ceremonies, like hit these one after the other.
Yeah.
And Christianity is settled on, you know, or winter and spring, but others, like the longest day of the year is really big, and others, well, where were we, like, at the, you know, at the end of October, no, September, October, you know, there's these other points of the calendar where you go.
I mean,
you know, birth, like longest day of the year, harvest, and then like getting through the winter. So what I'm saying is that this book is very grounded in that.
Yeah.
And unlike, again, if you just listen to the previous episode about The Road, when I was kind of complaining about that there's like allusion, trying to put an allusion to something religious doesn't mean anything if the characters themselves never express any opinion in any of this kind of stuff. One of the characters reads, you know, and they kind of read stories from...
In The Bear.
Yeah, in The Bear, the father has learned how to read, and sort of like the daughter is kind of complaining, like, oh, I don't want to read, you know, the Odyssey again, you know, talking about Homer and Melville and these other, you know, these other kind of things that they're talking about.
If they have access to books, it will only be a certain amount.
Yeah, there's only so many of the books, and of course the books that you can find in the library. So what they're up in the mountains, and they're beside a lake in a cabin beside a lake, and this is a pretty good condition cabin that, and they moved in there.
Yeah.
And
also in the US, do we know that?
Yeah. Definitely in the United States, somewhere northeast somewhere.
Okay.
So I'm thinking some mountains in the northeast,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Nature's taken back over.
Yeah.
And the first third of the book is we're getting through it pretty quickly. It's written quite basically. Like, in other words, she's a child, so there's a lot of this like writing which is very childlike, you know, where everything is kind of just sort of like said rather than explained.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
This is this. And everything's kind of said as though you already know what that is that you're looking at. We're just going to give it a name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Unlike other books which kind of feel more grown up, where you kind of can describe something mundane or can describe something, and in the description of something you bring it to life.
Mm.
Whereas when something is, there's a form of, you know, I don't know what this is called, this kind of writing, but you know, the kind of thing that is about children where it's just kind of like plainly stating stuff.
Yes.
Because that's what children need. You just need to keep like just plainly state stuff quite a lot until they understand, like until
they understand the concept and the connection of the language
you know. Yes. And so it starts off very much like that, but then she does grow up a bit and the writing kind of picks up.
Okay.
Although I kind of seen this done so many times now where there's a young character in the book and the writing reflects that they're a young character, so I'm going to use young sounding writing to get through this. But as she gets more experience, there's like more stuff's talked about and other details there. And every year on the summer solstice, she gets given a new gift that the father has made. So here's a knife, here's some new, you know, shoes, here's some, like, you know, other things that he's building.
Yeah.
And he gives, and each year gets like another lesson of what she has to learn.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right,
okay,
all right, we're gonna do this. And then they're like, all right, we need some salt because we need to like cure stuff and give some salt. So let's do every 10 years or so we do a trip to the sea and we get some salt from the sea.
Yeah.
So let's go. And they go off on a journey. And that's kind of like the next part of the book.
But there's like a purpose why they
Where they're going somewhere. Yeah. It's not like, oh, it's cold and we need supplies, let's go sell. Whatever. Either way, don't worry about too much about that.
Yeah.
And that's a bit more like the road, the book, The Road.
Yeah.
And then she has to make her way back to the mountain.
By herself.
Well, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but...
It's difficult to not spoil anything with two characters.
Again, so let's just say some spoilers. Yes. Yes, she does have to make. And the bear helps her get back. So there's a bear. They've been mentioning the bear.
Oh, I thought... Oh, that's interesting. I thought it would be a symbolic bear because I looked...
Oh, no. It is a symbolic bear.
Okay.
Do you want to get into this?
Well, I can see it, literally.
Okay, so here's the thing. The mountain looks like a bear. Like the shape of the mountain looks like a bear's head looking up at the stars.
Yeah.
Also, they're pointing out the stars in the sky. And like, oh, there's... Is it Ursa? Yeah, Ursa Major, yes. Ursa Minor, whatever bears are there too. So yes, the bear is like this guiding light in the star.
Okay.
In the sky. And also the bear is like the thing that they're aiming towards when they go up the mountains.
Right. So they are triangulating, literally.
Yeah. They're doing lots of triangulation or whatever. We just had a conversation about that.
Yeah.
But the father is like, you know, like they say in The Road, we're carrying the light. You know, we're the good guys. We're carrying the light.
Right.
So much of this book feels like this. Now I finished this book before I abandoned the road.
Yeah.
I will now read a bit from the Wikipedia page of The Road. This is at the end of the book. While walking through a town inland, a man in a window shoots the father in the leg with an arrow. Okay. This book is like 50% of this book is like learning how to make arrows and build bows.
The Road.
No, of the bear.
Oh, you need to always state that, because now you're switching
between.
So in
The
Road,
the father is shot with an arrow.
Yes.
In this book, it's all arrows all the time. You know, it's like bows and arrows all the time.
Bows and arrows.
In the bear. The father responds something like that. The father's condition worsens, and after several days, he realizes he will soon die. The father tells the son he can talk to him after he's gone, and that he must continue without him.
In the road. Yes.
After the father dies, blah, blah, blah. So, okay. So it turns out exactly what I thought was going to happen. was going to happen in The Road. Yep. But I just read The Bear, so I knew this. But now, like, oh, so he dies of a wound, like a bad wound that doesn't immediately kill him.
Yeah.
Because you can't just have someone die out of the blue. That's not narratively satisfying.
Yeah.
You know, if this is one of the last things and they're going to leave their small child. Oh, by the time she's like 12 years old, like in The Bear.
In The Bear.
She's about 12 years old by this time. Okay. So a bit more capable.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, so she, like, so as soon as I set off on this trip, well, I'm like, well, he's not coming back the other direction. Like, again, there's nothing bad about this because, like, it becomes a bit more like fairy tale like or fairy story like. It's like children's story like ish in The Bear.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like,
you have to be an orphan
at the start of a Disney movie. Like, not like there might be a father who still survives, but the mother's probably already dead.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And or the mother's gonna not, you know, someone's not gonna make it, you yeah. know, that kind of thing. They're gonna be like separated from the parents and gonna, you know,
right,
have to go and find Nemo or Dumbo the way back to the circus or whatever's gonna happen.
Yes, that's,
you know,
often like it's a good way of starting a tragic.
Yeah, well, it doesn't look tragic, but I'm just saying it's kind of clear that that's what's coming up.
Okay.
But the idea that the father's condition worsens and after several days he realizes he will soon die. Same thing that happens in The Bear.
Okay.
Like, he gets injured, and not by a shooting of an arrow, but weirdly, by a not shooting of an arrow. So lots of stuff that the road is doing, the bear is taking it and doing a clever twist to, like, flip it back in the other way. So it's a man and a girl rather than a man and a boy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the mother died, similar to a stage in life, but, like, it's all this, you know, there's a different kind of reflection of it.
Okay.
And in The Road, all plant life and animal life is gone completely. And in The Bear, all human life is gone completely. And the animal and plant life is still there.
And, you know, obviously, like, flourishing and taking
yeah,
back over.
Yeah, flourishing and taking,
you know,
over.
Yeah.
So scenes that are in The Road,
yeah,
so many of them and so many of the ideas are there, are actually then, his comment, like, they're commenting on what's lacking. If it always felt like to me, it's commenting on what's lacking and what something is being said in The Road by telling not the same story but doing a lot of the same literary work.
Yeah.
But like I say, it felt so much, it was like in dialogue with it, sort of like, all right, so it's not a surprise that everyone who's read The Road and then reviews The Bear mentions The Road. It's because like, this is suddenly like, oh, it makes me think more about The Road. But I'm like, why is he doing it about this book? But there's so many different points.
Okay.
So many, like, missing things, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Not missing things, but like mismatches. But I felt all of them were intentional. To the point where the father tells the son he can talk to him after he's gone.
Yeah. In The Road.
In The Road. That's what the father says.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he doesn't, because there's no, like, magical stuff that happens there. There's not fantasy. It's all very real.
Okay.
Anyway, so the bear. Is the bear a symbolic bear or is it a real bear? Yes, it's a real bear, but actually it's a symbolic bear.
Yeah.
Because the moment that the father dies, a bear turns up and starts talking. I'm like, okay, like, as I thought, the bear is like a personification of the father.
Right.
And that as soon as the father dies, the bear starts talking and then becomes the guide, like he's been all the way through.
Yeah.
And now she's got to make her way up during winter back to the cabin in the forest. And the bear tells her a bit more stuff, leads her to a cave, and then starts hibernating and sleeps all the way through.
Yeah.
So it's like this kind of Life of Pi animal representation of themselves and what they need to have a bear that can talk to them, but then can't talk to them because it's hibernating. But is it really hibernating? Is it all in your brain? Is it magical? And it's done pretty well to get through this idea.
Yeah.
Also, I made a note here as well that it says, what was my thing here? This is my notes. As I wrote while I was reading it.
Listening to it.
As I was listening to it. The man is obviously going to die at the exact moment the girl is able to fend for herself, but not too well. So you see what I mean? So I knew that he was going to die because she was already 12 years old, and that's the time when you can, like, you know, clan of the cave bear, you can kind of get through at that age. If you're too young, it's not realistic.
Yes.
But once you're like a, you know, tween teenager.
Yeah, your frontal cortex has to have a certain development.
You're not just going to die by, like, falling off a cliff because your brain isn't caught up with yet.
Yeah.
And then And so then I put, okay, so the bear starts talking immediately. When will the puma turn up? Because the father had been telling stories about like a puma. Mm. And I was like, well, the puma is like obviously a representation of the mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the puma turns up and I wrote, oh, here's mum. And the puma started talking. I'm like, yes, of course the puma starts talking, because of course the bear and the puma are the mother and the father. Again, it's not, this is not spelled out explicitly,
yeah,
but it's doing enough, it's doing enough things well enough,
yeah,
that it allowed me to get all of this reading out of it. And I think so much of it must be intentional because it's like right there, mm, and it feels very obvious. So it feels like it must be intentional.
Yeah.
And it's like someone who's actually putting the work in to try, okay, and try and create a world that when the bear starts talking, I'm not like, wait a second, why does the bear start talking? I'm like, yeah, the bear's going to, like, I mean, I didn't know that the bear was going to start talking because I didn't know it was that kind of magical.
Yes.
But the father had already told enough fairy stories or like, you know,
yeah,
folk stories.
Yeah, it was prepared.
Yeah, it kind of set the way.
The reader was prepared for...
Yeah, he told some fun fairy stories about a bear that was going to help some people with a cat. There was a king and a castle, and the king was stealing too much, and the bear was like, well, I'll go in there, you know, and the bear was helping the people and giving them, yeah, stuff. And then there was another somewhere about puma carrying something on the back across the river.
Yeah, obviously, and, also passing on hope, right? So it, yeah, feels very much like...
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
You know, stuff that's missing in the road.
And there's also some fun bits and pieces that I thought was quite interesting. At one point, the father goes, do you want me to tell you this story? And the daughter's like, no. And I'm like, oh, that's really clever. Like, and then she was like, okay, I can't remember exactly the reason, but like, oh, is it a nice story? Like, and so there is a bit more of that backwards and forwards. And it felt to me like the father was saying, are you too old for this kind of story?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I'm too old. And they're like, oh, maybe I'll give it another go.
Yeah.
And it felt like this story was the last time that the girl needed to hear a fairy story or a guiding story or a parable or a,
yeah,
you know, fable or whatever needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then she's good enough. And yeah, so that second, like that last section, or one of the big stretch to the end is her in the winter trying to survive and the animals around her helping her. Like there's an eagle that gives her some food and a puma kills some things for her, like because she doesn't have all the skills.
Yeah.
But part of that felt a bit not clumsy, but a bit like not obvious. What am I trying to say? Like it felt needless. So example, when her father dies, she's like, oh, and I'm also going to burn my father. I'm going to burn the bow and the maps and the books. I'm just going to burn it all now. And I'm like, no, that map could come in really handy. And don't you need a bow? And it felt like, ah, now she has to make her own bow again from scratch. And she's got to carve it and get the string. And so I'm like, it would have been much better if she like had the maps and the bow, and she'd have probably made it all the way back home before winter, yeah, come down. I was like, yeah, but then the story wouldn't have worked, and she couldn't have hibernated a cave with the bear, and the puma wouldn't have needed to talk. And so it felt like a bit, some of it felt a bit artificial.
Yes.
In a way that sometimes like stuff happens in fairy stories without actually needing to.
Yeah.
And yeah. So what do you think? Positive review coming of this book?
Well, certainly better than the previous one.
Gave me a lot to think about.
And also, it feels like it's one of those cases where sometimes you have an original story of something.
Yeah.
And then an author 20 years later, I mean, this wasn't 20 years later,
yeah,
but this feels like this is one of those. We had these before where you read the original,
yeah,
after reading the updated version.
Yeah, yeah. But in this case, I'm kind of reading it at the same time.
Yes,
you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
And also the duration of time in between wasn't like,
yeah,
20 years. It was...
No. 14 years.
Yeah.
Oh, 13 years.
14 years. Oh.
13, 14 years.
Yes. 2007. How can I be so far away
quite
already?
A long time ago.
Oh, God.
I could have reviewed the Road as a new book.
Yeah.
In the first year of the SFBRP, which I did in 2008.
You could have, yes.
Which I didn't.
Oof.
So glad.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes the verdict is the original is better than anything that came after.
Right.
But here it is.
No, no. Again, I don't want to say better.
No, no, no. Okay.
This is doing a different job.
Yes.
There's, like I say, there's some things which I, you know, you go back and read like the original of these.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Alistair Reynolds was referencing this in this book.
Yeah.
But now like, you go back and read.
What comes to mind? Hyperion, you know.
Right.
And lots of later authors who came after.
with Hyperion.
Who grew up with Hyperion.
Yeah.
Wrote their own.
No, no, but now you've
version.
Got to go all the way back to Canterbury Tales.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Okay.
Like
yeah.
that, I don't see that as the text. But here's the thing. Peter F. Hamilton was definitely in dialogue with Hyperion when he's writing Salvation.
Yes.
Which, again, all good. No problem at all about that.
Yeah.
But they both stand up. And it's... I'm saying The Road is now a book which is well known enough that I yeah. think that this book is in dialogue with it.
The Bear?
The Bear is in dialogue with The Road. But I think The Bear is trying to accomplish the opposite of what The Road is.
Okay.
Not to say that everything's desolate and lifeless and everything and there's no hope or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like all the decisions that The Road is taking, The Bear is taking a different, not the opposite, but a different decision.
Okay.
But keeping some of the themes the same and some of the interactions the same. And of course, a lot of the literary styling, you
okay.
know, of that kind of stuff.
Was the language also like this? Strange.
It was pretty
autistic. Black Knight. That's just kept in my head. How can a knight be autistic?
No, the language is written more about. It's more like based in like kind of like folk tales, fairy tales, that kind of stuff, which is very different from the. I'm gonna write like you know. Hemingway and
yeah so in my
whatever.
Head when you say that what comes to my mind is the Californias.
No, but again,
different again.
Yeah, we don't
no,
even need
just,
to go into the three California.
I have not read this,
yeah,
so it is
what
really
I'm trying
tricky
to say
for
is,
me to
what
know.
I'm trying to say is The Bear is very short and
yeah.
it feels like you're first reading, like you're reading a folk story or a children's story or a fairy story or a magical story,
okay.
even before magic turns up because it's got a young character.
Yeah.
And it feels not dreamlike, but feels, yeah, like in a different way because you're working with this time span, like this seven year time span over mm-hmm. there. And then it goes into a journey, so
yeah.
they're like going down the road to the coast, even though they're not going to the road. It's not a road, and but they are going to the coast, like in The Road. Either way, I can't say too much about The Road because I didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But there's a reason I finished this book, is because even though parts of it I didn't like,
yeah.
it felt like the author was trying to do something and was maybe failing at what he was trying to do, but at least doing something interesting that I hadn't seen before, even if the thing that I hadn't seen before is trying to write something, some, you know, interpretation or midrash or whatever you want to say if you're talking about like the, you know, the literary roots of like why people would rewrite stories by other people, like, you know, you've got the the Homer stuff and then Virgil comes along and writes something else and then, you know, they're all like rewriting the same stories.
Yeah.
And what changes about the story tells you something about like what the author wants to say.
Yes.
So it's impossible for me to read this as an isolated book, but I enjoy that somebody is doing like a midrashic retelling of something.
Yeah.
And what stays the same means something, or what is changed means something.
Okay.
Again, I was just reading this thing about like when was the Old Testament written, and you're like, okay, there's no way that's the story of Solomon chopping a baby in half or ordering a baby to be chopped in half makes any sense unless you know that Alexander the Great was going to chop a knot in half, you know, like nobody could like unwind or unbind the Gordian knot, and he's
yeah.
like, well, I'll get a knife and chop it in half.
Yeah.
And Solomon is like, oh, there's a problem. There's an intractable problem here, and both require the king to get a sword and chop something in half. In one case, a knot. In one case, a baby. Like nobody in the ancient world would be able to read the story about Solomon and not see it through the lens of Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
which is so much of a defining figure that's why everyone's speaking Greek at the moment. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying with this book, that the idea of doing a retelling is in itself an interesting thing, whereas The Road failed utterly because it didn't feel like a retelling of something, because anything that was there, which wasn't just darkness and horror and despair, was removed from it.
Yes.
So it didn't feel like it was in dialogue with any other post-apocalyptic fiction. It didn't feel like it was in dialogue with anything about the world. It just felt empty.
Yeah.
Like, and then any reference that did come up to Christianity or anything like that felt unearned and useless, because
yeah.
there wasn't anything at the core of it, which
yeah.
is sort of like, well, I hope my child isn't in danger one day, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And but now looking or talking about The
yeah.
Road from this perspective
yeah.
of The Bear,
yeah,
I totally understand kind of what Cormac Carthy
yeah.
was aiming to do. And
what was he aiming to do? I don't know what he was aiming to do.
To write this empty box of nothing and despair and hopelessness. Yeah. Like that was what he was...
And he also did a bad job of that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he did a job enough.
Yeah.
I'm not saying any adjective here. He did enough of a job that somebody else...
Yeah,
is taking
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying. He was successful and popular enough that could be as a basis of somebody who wants to do not a rewrite, but like an exploration. And again, what is different about this book from The Road says stuff about the character, says stuff about the situation, says something about the author, says something about the world, says something about humanity, says something. You know, there's something to be said there rather than, oh, I hope we don't get eaten by these cannibals.
Is there cannibalism?
No, there isn't, because there's only two humans. And that's why it almost felt better that these two characters didn't have... There was only two characters and they didn't have names.
Mm.
It was badly written in The Road when someone was called The Man. His name, the way that he was referred to, is The Man. But then The Man and The Boy met another man. So then they said, and then The Man started fighting with The Man. I mean, it wasn't quite like that, but there was like two men there, but one of them was called The Man and the other one just happens to be a man.
Okay.
And so you suddenly you're like, we have a way to make these sentences less confusing. It's like, give the characters names.
Or even a description.
Or even describe them.
Yeah,
so there's a big man and the young man.
Yeah.
The man we know, the man whose story we're following with the random man who just turned up. So I'm saying even Cormac McCarthy didn't name his two main characters.
Right.
And it felt like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because there's other people in the world.
Yes.
And in this book, there's literally no other people in the world.
Yeah, because so there's the man and the girl.
Yeah, that's so it's like we're back in the Garden of Eden. So we have the man, the girl, the serpent. Although there's not a serpent in here, but like the bear, the eagle, the puma.
It's the of something. Yeah,
it's the of it because there's only one of them.
Yes.
Okay, and but Cormac McCarthy has said the man and the boy, and then other men turn up, and he doesn't have like, you know, you could have rewritten this sentence to like to either make the literary idea of not naming your characters, but also it felt like names aren't needed here because it's like, hey, you know what I mean, there's only one other hey you around here, and it's hey you don't have to say you or hey whatever.
Yeah,
But in The Road, you did need... There were parts where the characters didn't... It should have had names.
That's interesting.
All right.
What does the community say?
No, I haven't finished my review. I'm only halfway through my review.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, do you think this is going to be a positive review of this book? Sounds positive, doesn't it,
far? Well, up until now, it's
it sounds really
you
positive.
Got through it, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay, I'm looking for the...
I will now check out some community reviews. Not my community, but like from Goodreads.
Okay.
So, Misty's review. 50% of the way through. 5 stars. I love this. 60%. 4 stars. A little lull. 75% of the way through. 3 stars. Yawn. How long is this book? 90%. Can I DNF this close to the end? Can I do not finish this book this close to the end? 95%. Should have DNF'd. 100%. Finished. 1 star. Don't read this.
Oh my God.
I didn't have the same experience as this.
Oh, that's drastic.
But honestly, I had the same thing. Like, I was going through it and I was like, hey, this is really good. Like, it was never going to be a 5-star book to me because, again, I can't get over the style of writing where it's a book about a child, so you write it like a children's book and it kind of that gets annoying to me.
Yeah.
So it was never going to be above like a 4-star book. But it was 4 stars and then 3.5 stars, you know, that kind of like good average, above average kind of book for a good chunk of this. But then, like I say, it got to that 75% and like the yawn, how long is this book? And I'm like, how could I have been so wrapped up in this book for like 60 to 70% of the way through?
And it's only 4 hours.
Yeah. And I tell you something.
What?
That last hour, oh my goodness, it dragged and dragged and dragged. And I never thought I was going to DNF it, but I was like, wow, this book has got to stick the landing. Like, this is this is so slow and so boring. We're just in this cycle of like, I'm in a cave. I need some food. I go out. I'm going to get some food. I get some food. I go back. I'm in a cave. Now I'm going to go out. I'm going to go down to this river. I'm going to get something from the river. Right. And now I'm going to go back to the cave. Right. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to go down to this river and I'm going to get something from this river. And then I'm going to go back up and go into the cave. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to go slightly further down this river. And then I'm going to get something from slightly further down the river. And now I'm going to go back and get into this cave. Now, and I'm like, like, oh my goodness, we're just looping through the same thing, the way she's like learning, like using the lessons that she learned as a child and like is being inspired by the bear and listening.
But always in the same situation.
But she's alone. She doesn't have anyone to talk to except a bear and a puma when they're around and awake. And she's like, oh my goodness, it's so dull.
Okay.
So dull. And it gets closer and closer to the end. And I'm like, we don't have time to get to, like, we don't have time for this book to end with anything that's going to happen. Like, what am I expecting to happen? She's got to get home, right? She's got to get back to the cabin. So this is my thing. Like, I put the ending, spent all that effort to get home and that's it, question mark. She didn't grow up, because I was expecting like this journey to get home and this was going to be her breaking through from childhood to adulthood. It was going to be her like rediscovering someone. I didn't want it to be like a fairy tale ending where she like found a sign of another human. Like, oh, a human, another human's footprint. Like, again, there's lots of ways it could have gone, which I might have felt disappointed with or let down with. But like, oh, no, I find it much more interesting that she could have been the last woman alive or whatever.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, and this is why I feel shortchanged by it being a novella kind of length rather than a novel kind of length, is that it felt like after all of that tediousness, like that could have been shortened up. But even when she got home, it felt like I needed at least another hour or 2 hours spending time with her to understand how she's changed as a person. Like, yeah. see what's gone on. And I don't mind a good story if this story is interesting, that someone like changes along the way, or maybe they don't change along the way, but enough interesting stuff happens. But what's the worst thing is if nothing interesting happens until right at the very end and you're like, and now, probably something that's going to change them as a personality or change their direction.
Or it's going to be useful. All the stuff in the middle that they did is going to be useful.
Yeah,
it's
going to be useful. And it's going to make them. And again, I don't want to give too much away of what happens. I mean, I've pretty much said exactly what happens. But what happens at the end is she's sort of like, great, well, fine. And she just kind of gives up on the house, goes and lives with the animals, and it literally skips forward 50 years. And then she's sort of like, and when she's an old woman, she late. And I was like, oh no.
What?
This isn't the post-apocalyptic.
Oh.
This isn't like, this is, it was only like about a 12-year-old girl.
Jungle Book reverse.
And then they're like, and now skip forwards, you know.
50 yeah. years.
She's an old woman. Like in a paragraph, she gets back home, decides that she's not going to fix up the windows because, you know, or not going to like sweep out the animal droppings that are in the house because they left it empty over winter.
Yeah.
And then it just skips forward to like her being an old woman and dying and never seeing anybody else and never having another conversation with the bear, nothing, just like living out in nature. And I was like,
well, that.
This is something from Mrs. Review. Girl hunting, eating, being cold, hunting, tanning hides, being cold, on and on and on and on. And then it's boom, it's spring. And I was like, it has to get better again. Nope, hungry, eating leaves, hunting, gets home, it's covered in animal poo, and oh, it could pick up now? Girl skips breakfast, 60 years past, dead. And that's the end of the book. And I was like, but what happened to like the character development? Like, you can't have something which felt like, because it wasn't really closely examining here, it was all just about action. It was all like, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, she feels this, she feels that, but it wasn't anything in her head. And I was like, and now, what's been expressed from the on her outside, which is the bear talking and the puma talking and the animals helping her out, which of course they're not, but that's just like her outward expression of what's happening inside her. Now she's going to get home and she's not going to be in the wilderness anymore, and she's going to pick up a book and she's going to write her diary or she's going to read a book, and she's got something's going to express what's changed about her and how she's grown up or how she's not grown up or how she's decided to, like, anything about it,
or like any reflection of what happened at the beginning with the father telling the stories and reading the books.
No, she climbs the mountain, puts her father's ashes up there or something, and then just like gives up being a human and just goes back to nature or something. And then I was like,
what
"What's the book about?
Jungle Book reverse."
Yeah, it's like reverse Jungle Book. You know, even with a Baloo, the bear, and a puma. Yeah. No, what's that? There's a tiger. No, what's the? No, is it puma?
Tiger.
No, panther. Okay, so
panther.
It's a,
panther and a bear.
A panther and a bear. And then the tiger is the bat, you know, whatever.
And a snake. But
an eagle, but, or whatever.
Yeah, like Oh, that's disappointing.
This is a review from Joy. My Kindle tells me I have 18 minutes left in this book, and I'm honestly not sure I can finish it. I am so bored. The first half wasn't bad. There was some brief action and dialogue. You know what I mean? It's not just me. I looked for some people who were disappointed in the book.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's one of those things where I was like, wow, you were all you had to do was stick the landing. Like, first of all, tighten up that really boring bit.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was like running out of steam. Like, I've got to put a few more words in because otherwise it'll be like a novella, like it'll be a short story or novelette. And it needs to get to a certain number of words so I can call it a novel or a novella.
Yeah.
And it just sort of like, well, let's just loop over them, you know, her being cold and hungry and finding
food. And that
food
can and work.
That it could work. Then it has to... It has to pay off. Like, honestly, if it had ended with her coming home and seeing the animal poo in the house and like looking at the books which the mice had chewed, and she looked at all of that and she'd buried it, and then she came down to her home and she was still 12 years old, and it had ended there, I'd be like, oh, okay, abrupt ending. But it like leaves it on a cliffhanger, but like a character cliffhanger, like
you can
how then... is she going to change and what's going to happen in the future. But then it like skips forward 60 years
in the wilderness by yourself.
I say 60 years because it's sort of like 60 years have passed, like she's an old woman. Maybe if you're living in, maybe old is like 35 by then, you know. I don't know. But if you just skip forward to the end of her life and have her die, I'm like, oh, but there's so many books who've done this like better. Like so many of these post-apocalyptic books where there's like only one person left in there, or there's only two people left and they're trying to rebuild. I'd have to look up the episode books. Is it Alas Babylon? Alas. Alistair Reynolds. Oh, it's just finding Alistair Reynolds when I search for Alas.
Of course. Just search for Babylon.
Alas Babylon. That's not the book I'm thinking of.
Okay.
What's the other one? Oh, I think, did we review it as a... I think we reviewed it on the SFF Audio podcast. Let me have a look. What's this one here? No, I can't see it. Either way, there was one of these books which I gave a good rating to because I really enjoyed it. Like I gave it 4.5 stars. Not I Am Legend. Anyway, it's a book in California, post-apocalyptic. And at the end of that, it fast forwards to the main character's the end of his life.
Yeah.
But it shows how he's being treated by the next generation or two generations later. And I'm like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
You know, if you know what I mean, it's okay to skip forward because his character and the development of the society and all that kind of stuff is happening in the book.
Yeah.
And when you skip forward, it's like a little coda.
Yeah.
But you can't skip forward and have a coda, which makes the rest of it like, it honestly felt like a waste of time that we'd spent like a good 30% of the book of her just trying to get back up the mountain and survive through the winter and go down to the river and get some food and then go back to the cave and then come out and go away and try and hunt something and get back and go back to the cave and then go out. And I was like, this better have a great payoff, and it felt like it wasn't there at all. I did finish it. I'm going to give it 2 stars. But for a book where I was at the 50% of the way through, and also there's some really nice writing in this, like that it's actually nicely written in some ways, especially the stuff where the father is saying something and we as adults understand what he's saying, you know.
Yes.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like at one point, like he's already injured and the moment you know as a reader that he knows that he's going to die, it's like, oh yeah, you got some fish, that'll feed you for a good few days yet. And you're like, that'll feed you for a good few days.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, you know, there's clever stuff in this book.
Yeah.
And all of the mythic stuff is clever. All of the, you know, anthropomorphization of animals is really good.
Yeah.
The folk tale stuff is good. The fairy tales, like there's so much good stuff in it, but it doesn't stick the landing, and it sticks the landing so bad. It's sort of like it's done the vault over the thing. It's doing these flips in the air, like all the way down. You're like, good, good, good. Hits the box, does a flip in the end. You're like, really, really, really good. But it doesn't just like fall flat on its face. It goes to fall flat on its face, and then it kind of like the gravity works differently, and it kind of like flops off the side, but like not in a way that's like interesting, but sort of just sort of go, oh, why did the video cut off? It's like that kind of stuff. And then it cuts to somebody, but they're not in they're not like going, yay, I got it, and they're not like in the ambulance. They're just sort of like, oh yeah, I did a thing a while ago. I did a thing a while ago. And I'm like, but how did that change? Like, you didn't, how did it go?
Weird.
Like, you didn't even show me you sticking the landing or not. It's sort of like it looked like it was heading to failure, and then you just like skip forward time over all of the character. Either way, I don't want to rant about it because it's not worth ranting about, but it was kind of disappointing that like so much of the book was really good.
Yeah.
But like, again, these two people here, Joy and Misty, again, I was looking at people who had a negative response to it, but both of them. Or like Misty here, 5 stars after 50%. Again, it wasn't that strong, but it was really good. Thankfully, it was short, so got through it, no problem.
Yeah. All right, you finished it. It wasn't great.
I'm now going to head over to Goodreads.
And Yeah. Okay. Where's the other?
And I want to show you some of the 5-star reviews here. So let's click on 5 stars. In fact, I'm not going to read you any of the 5-star reviews. I'm going to read you the last line in all of these 5-star reviews. I received an advanced copy of this book from Bellevue Literary Press through NetGalley. Let's check out this one. Thank you, Bellevue Literary Press and via NetGalley for the advanced reader copy in exchange for an honest review. Let's check out this next one. Thank you, Bellevue Literary Press and NetGalley for the opportunity to read and review The Bear. Let's click on this next one here. Many thanks for the advanced reader copy provided by Bellevue Literary Press. Let's check on this next one here. No. Oh, look.
It doesn't say anything. Maybe it's
so
at the beginning.
How many was that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reviews in a row.
Yeah.
And then we got to one which doesn't thank them for a free book, which was a literary press. Let's check this one. Actually, maybe not. Either way, so obviously this book, thanks to the publisher and Libro FM for my complimentary copy. All opinions are my own. So I'm not saying that this book got a lot of early buzz and some good reviews because it's short. And
they handed it out.
The publishers gave it out. Because this happens with all books. Like, I've got advanced reader copies. That's not a problem.
Yes.
But it feels to me like lots of people read a book, were pleasantly surprised by it, like pushed through to the end because it's short. Like, again, you can get bored of it, but you know you're only going to be bored for about an hour.
Yeah.
Because the book will end in that time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so for the people that they were just sort of like, oh, that was a pleasant read. Oh, it's beautiful. Was it a beautifully written story imagining what life would be like for the last man and his daughter living alone on Earth? It reminded me of learning about many skills, traditions, and reverence the Native Americans use to live off the land. Especially moving is the honor given to the animals that are eaten for the two to stay alive. Trigger warning, detailed descriptions of killing and preparing animals for food. I'll tell you something, there is a lot of killing animals and preparing them for food.
Yeah, well, it's what you have to do. If you're the last
people. Other people complaining, like when I looked at some of like the mid-range reviews, I like, just felt like a survivalist guide, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like how to survive in the wild. You've got to make a knife. You've got to use your knife to make a bow. You've got to use the bow to catch the animals. You've got to use the animals to get the thing. You got to do. Yeah, it was a bit of that in the way, which to be honest, I'm fine with. Like,
well,
I'm totally fine with survival fiction, but I didn't really feel it to be like a Native American kind of style thing, but maybe I guess it's referencing that, but for me it felt like just a lot more like spirit animal, which I guess is a Native American thing, but you know, like I say, as soon as they start talking, you're like, oh, okay, it's like folk tales from everywhere where animals talk, if you know what I mean. It could be from anywhere. It is a book set in North America, but like you say, it could just be a jungle. It's as much of a jungle book as it is a Native American story.
Yeah.
In my opinion, again, I just don't know enough about those stories that, I'll pick up the Jungle Book references before I'll pick up stuff from stories about Native Americans that I don't know.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Sure. I hope in the future you read some books that you actually are interested
in. I'm enjoying Moby Dick, kind of, mostly, some of it.
Okay.
Maybe I should just do an episode on Moby Dick, because I've got so much stuff.
I think this is now the third podcast where you mention it.
It's just taking me so long. It's just like, it's just a lot to get through.
Yeah, it is.
And it's
lots
not like
whale killing,
it's not like
apparently.
Anyway. So I finished these books. I reviewed this book. So I will move on to my next science fiction book now that I've got. Because I've been having these two different books that I wanted to review hanging out in my head.
Yeah. Now you can move on. What's it going to be? You have an idea?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
It just feels like I've not read that many. Again, I just need to find something either completely different or not completely different. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like I've got to. What have I read recently? That. Satire book, which I haven't added to the list here. Alistair Reynolds, Ursula K. Le Guin, M.R. Carey with Infinity Gate. Don't remember that. Sandra Newman's Julia. That was the last book I read last year. So I don't know. What fits in with that? I mean, I could always do another Ursula K. Le Guin book. That's good. But like, maybe I should branch out to other... But I'm trying. Something you know, else. I'm trying these different things that have been in my Audible library for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe I should just... Maybe I should actually decide to read a book rather than reading something by default because I just want something quick which isn't Moby Dick. Maybe I should actually decide to read something like I did with Sandra Newman Julia, which is a 1984 recasting.
Yes. So you should go out and find yourself a book that
actually
you actually want to do, and not just because it is available, because it is
because it's in my
for
Audible
free
library.
Because,
All right.
Well, good luck with that.
I will. Hopefully I will have luck. This is actually quite a long episode with quite a short book. I wasn't expecting to go on for this long, but
I have fun talking about it.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.